بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونستهديه ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا وشفيعنا وحبيبنا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. سيدنا عبد الله بن عباس رضي الله عنهما narrates in a hadith recorded by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sunan and also by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad. He says, one day I was seated behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he called out to me saying, Ya Ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat, ihfaz Allah yahfazk, ihfaz Allah tajidhu tujahak, إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله، واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك، ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك بشيء إلا قد كتبه الله عليك، لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك، رفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وسلم. He says the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم called out to me and said, O child, I'm going to teach you a few words. Keep Allah and Allah shall keep you. Keep Allah and you shall find Allah before you. When you ask, ask only of Allah. When you seek assistance, seek only Allah's assistance. And know that even if the whole ummah was to come together with the intention of benefiting you with something, they will never be able to benefit you except with something which Allah has already decreed in your favor. And if the whole ummah was to come together to harm you with something, they would never be able to harm you in anything unless Allah has already decreed it against you. The pens have been lifted and the parchments have dried. This very short hadith contains some of the most fundamental words of advice of Allah's deen. And that's why Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma in this way. And in a few short sentences, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has spoken so eloquently about tawakkul, reliance only in Allah, depending only on Allah. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has spoken about how Allah will fulfill His promise of rewarding a person for living according to the laws of his religion, not only in the Akhirah but also in the dunya. How Allah will protect a person physically, mentally, spiritually, in every way, who abides by Allah's laws. How Allah has promised His company, His special attention and care for those people who keep the law of Allah, relying only on Allah, seeking only Allah's assistance. And finally, to believe in Qadr and to be content with whatever Allah has decreed for us, good or bad. And to realize that whatever befalls us, ultimately it is a choice from the will of Allah. And though we may suffer, it may be difficult, great patience must be exercised and restraint. A person must show great forbearance. But still, the only way he will be able to exercise his patience, overcome any negative thoughts and feelings, will be if he believes with conviction and yaqeen that this was going to happen and Allah had decreed it, and therefore I am content with whatever Allah has wished for me, good or bad. In a hadith narrated by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi in his Musnad, and also by Imam Tabarani in his Al-Mu'jam al-Kabir, on the authority of Sayyidina Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقَةٍ وَمَا بَلَغَ عَبْدٌ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ وَأَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in this hadith that everything has a reality, a haqiqah, every single thing has a reality, and never will any servant of Allah reach or attain the reality of iman until he becomes convinced that whatever was going to befall him was never going to miss him. That whatever has befallen him was never going to miss him. And that whatever has escaped him was never going to reach him. And when a man believes that, he is content. Because he will not regret, he will not spend the rest of his life fretting over something that missed him. No matter how close it may have come, a miss is as good as a mile. And he will, instead of burning from within, instead of regretting and feeling so sorry for himself and pitying oneself and becoming so subdued for the rest of one's days because of something that missed them in the past or something that happened to them in the past, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, never will a man reach the haqiqah, the reality of iman, never will he be able to grasp or attain the reality of iman until he becomes convinced that that which befell him was never going to miss him and that which escaped him was never going to reach him. So when a man becomes content with qadr, he becomes content with himself. He discovers that peace and tranquility of mind which every one of us seeks. So Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has encapsulated all of these fundamentals of qadr, of tawakkul, of belief in destiny, belief in the qadr of Allah, belief, reliance only in Allah, depending only on Allah, seeking only Allah's assistance. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam has encapsulated all of these fundamentals of religion so eloquently and so succinctly in this one short hadith. After all, he was given as a gift by Allah and as a unique privilege the miracle of Jawami'ul Kalim, meaning he was given eloquence of such a degree that in a few short words, in a few simple and short sentences, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam encompassed many truths for this ummah to reflect on and to practice. So going back to the hadith, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says that I was seated behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This means he was travelling with him and he was on the same mount, camel or horse, with Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called out to me and said, Ya Ghulam, O child, إني أعلمك كلمات, I'm going to teach you a few words. So he attracted his attention, first of all. Then he told him what he was going to say, so that Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas could pay attention and listen diligently and preserve what was being said to him. The first, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas was referred to as ghulam, or child, because according to many reports, when the Prophet ﷺ departed from this dunya, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was still only 14 years of age. He was only 14 years old when the Prophet ﷺ passed away. So, however long before his departure from the dunya, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam imparted this advice to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma. He was a child. He was very close to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, being his cousin brother. And one of his aunties was Maymuna radiallahu anha, and this was his maternal auntie. And she was one of the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he was privileged in the sense that he could gain first-hand information from his aunt about the private life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and not only that, he would often ask his auntie permission to stay with her when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also spent the night there, so that he could observe closely how the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spent his night in the privacy of his aunt's home. He is the one who relates those ahadith about how the Prophet ﷺ would rise with the tahajjud, how he would perform wudu and look up towards the heavens and recite إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَاتٍ لِأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ, a whole verse, the other two, three verses. So Prophet ﷺ, everything that he did in the privacy of his wife's home, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, because of his eagerness and his zeal to learn as much as he could, he would have the opportunity to see this at first hand. And even after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam passed away, Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu's zeal for knowledge was unbelievable, to the extent that he, in one narration, he says that after the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam departed from this dunya, I approached someone and said to them that the Prophet of Allah has departed from us, but his senior and most learned Sahaba are still alive. So why don't we go together and approach these Sahaba and learn the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from them? So the other person, for some reason, didn't show the same interest as he had. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu says that I decided to go myself. And he embarked on a course of learning. Even though he was so close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prayed for him by placing his noble hand on his head, on the head of this child, and praying to Allah, Allahumma allimhu ta'wil, O Allah, grant him the understanding of the Qur'an. And that's why Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma has a unique title as the Mufassir amongst the Sahaba radiallahu anhu. So despite the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's prayer for him, he never felt that he knew too much or he knew enough. He would still go out in search of knowledge, and with such eagerness that he says, what I used to do is try to find those Sahaba who were senior and learned and go to them and ask them to convey to me and report to me the sayings of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they had heard themselves. And often I would go to people's homes, and having arrived at their home, I would discover that they were resting. For example, they were taking a siesta in the afternoon. So what I would do, rather than return, I would sit down or lie down waiting for them until they would rise. And often I would find myself lying down in the sand, on the dust, in the dust, on the street, outside this Sahabi's house, at midday, with the wind blowing dust all around me, he graphically describes all of this. And having covered myself only with one piece of cloth, and I would lie there waiting for the Sahabi to rest and rise. And when he would come out, I would meet him. And often these Sahaba would say to me, they wouldn't say, "Oh, Ibn Abbas." They would say, "Ya ibn ammi Rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." That, "Oh, cousin brother of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what are you doing? If you had just sent word, we would have come to you ourselves." So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu would reply that, "No, I have come to you to seek the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and therefore it's my duty to come to you and wait." That was his eagerness. So he was still a child, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to him, "Ya ghulam, O child, inni u'allimuka kalimat," I'm going to teach you a few words. The first word of advice was, "Ihfadillahi yahfadhik." Literally, this would translate into, "Keep Allah and Allah shall keep you." What it means is, keep the law of Allah and Allah shall protect you. Keep the law of Allah and Allah shall keep you. Preserve the law of Allah and Allah shall preserve you. Preserve the religion of Allah and Allah shall protect you. And this is Allah's promise, and this is the word of His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That if we live our lives according to the Sharia, if we follow the teachings of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we implement the teachings and the commandments of the Quran, not only does Allah promises a reward in the hereafter, but Allah also promises us happiness, peace, tranquility, blessings, prosperity and security in this dunya. Allah promises us protection and the safekeeping of our iman, of our spirituality, of our bodies and our physical needs, and even our property. Allah, keep the law of Allah and Allah shall keep you. Preserve the law of Allah and Allah shall protect you. This is Allah's promise. And in many verses of the Quran, Allah has described this. That those who live their lives according to the religion, Allah shall give them a glad tiding in both the dunya and in the akhirah. In one verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, "Lahumul bushra fil hayati dunya wa fil akhirah, la tabdila li kalimatillah." For them shall be glad tidings in both this dunya and in the hereafter. There is no change to the promises or the words of Allah. Allah's promises, فَإِمَّا يَأْتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًى فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. That those of you who receive guidance from me, and then they follow my guidance, there shall be no fear. They will suffer no fear, nor will they suffer any sorrow. أَلَا إِنَّ أَوْلِيَاءَ اللَّهِ لَا خَوْفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. Know that indeed the friends of Allah, there is no fear on them. They shall suffer no fear, nor will they grieve. This is Allah's promise for both the dunya and the akhirah. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was protected by Allah in every way, Allah Azza wa Jalla told him, يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ بَلِّغْ مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ مِنْ رَبِّكَ وَإِنْ لَمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. That, O Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, convey that which has been revealed to you from your Lord. And if you don't convey this message, then you have not completed the duty of your being a messenger. And you have not truly conveyed Allah's message. If you don't do this, you haven't conveyed Allah's message. وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ, meaning do this. Carry the standard of Allah. Be the standard bearer of Islam. Convey Allah's deen, His religion. And Allah shall protect you from mankind. And Allah Azza wa Jal did. The whole of Makkah plotted against him. They contrived plans. They devised mischievous and evil schemes. They conspired and plotted against him to appease him, to burden him with women and wealth and power of the dunya, so that they could keep an eye over him. They schemed to assassinate him. They schemed to drive him from Makkah. And Allah says, وَإِذْ يَمْكُرُ بِكَ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ لِيُثْبِتُوكَ أَوْ يَقْتُلُوكَ أَوْ يُخْرِجُوكَ وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهُ وَاللَّهُ خَيْرُ الْمَاكِرِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and remember the time when the disbelievers plotted against you, so either to keep you, but in a way that would suit them, or to kill you, or to drive you from the city. And they plotted, and Allah also planned. And Allah is the best of planners. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was protected in every way by Allah azza wa jalla. Often when they would plan to kill him, assassinate him, poison him, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam would be informed. On one occasion, and this was a reason why one of the tribes, the Jewish tribes of Medina, were expelled from the city, is because they called the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to discuss something. And then they planned that when he would come, they would sit him in a particular spot, and that would be just beneath a very high wall of a house. And they planned, and they had already prepared everything. They had placed a large boulder on the roof of that house, and their plot was to make the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam sit directly beneath that wall, and then to roll that boulder over the wall and crush him to death. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam went there. He was informed by Jibreel Amin alayhi salatu wasalam of their nefarious plans. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam immediately returned to the masjid with his noble companions. And then it was after that that this particular tribe, not all the Jews, but this particular tribe, was expelled from Medina, because it was part of their treaty. They had signed a treaty with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that they would defend the city collectively, that they would incite no rebellion, and they would sow no discord. They would instigate no trouble from within the city, and never would they plot to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or the Sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum. And here they plotted to crush him to death. So Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam expelled them. Until this day, the Yahud wail and weep over that expulsion and banishment from the city. And even those Orientalists and pseudo-Islamists who claim to approach the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the subject of Islam objectively, they sing hollow praises of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, and then in between they insert this, that it cannot be denied that he was unfair to the Jews. It cannot be denied that he expelled the Jews and assassinated them. It cannot be denied that he murdered the Jews, na'udhu billah. If only they studied why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, well, in fact they do know, they have studied, but the enemies of Allah. So many plotted against the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to harm him physically, to hurt him physically, to assassinate him. But Allah Azza wa Jal is the best of all planners. And Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam was protected by Allah. Allah Azza wa Jal declares that no one needs to assist him because Allah is his protector. In a verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهُ إِذْ أَخْرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا ثَانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَنَا فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها وجعل كلمة الذين كفروا السفلى وكلمة الله هي العليا والله عزيز حكيم. Allah Azza wa Jal says, if you will not assist him, then Allah has already shown His assistance to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember the time when He assisted him, when the disbelievers drove him out. When he was the second of just two people, meaning him and Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the cave of Thawr. When they were both in the cave. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was telling his companion, his sahib, the only person to have been declared a companion by Allah in the Qur'an. Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And yet there are still those people who declare the same Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu to be a zindiq and a munafiq and claim to believe in Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la'natullahi alayhim. I say so because in a hadith Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِذَا رَأَيْتُمُ الَّذِينَ يَسُبُّونَ أَصْحَابِي فَقُولُوا la'natullahi ala sharrikum. When you see those people who abuse my sahaba, then say to them, may the curse of Allah descend upon the worst amongst you. The only man to have been called a sahib, a companion by Allah, Sayyidina Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So Allah says, if you will not assist him, then know that Allah has already assisted him when the disbelievers drove him out of the city of Mecca. And they were both in the cave when he was saying, he was the second of two, and they were both in the cave. And he said, he was saying to his companion, لا تحزن إن الله معنا. Do not worry, do not grieve, Allah is with us. فأنزل الله سكينته عليه وأيده بجنود لم تروها. Allah says that Allah assisted him when they were both in the cave, and he was telling his companion, do not grieve, Allah is with us. Allah then sent down His peace and His tranquility upon him, and Allah assisted him with armies that you could not see. And Allah lowered and reduced the word of the disbelievers to the lowest depths, and Allah raised His own word. And Allah's word is exalted to the greatest heights. And Allah is almighty and all wise. Whoever lives their life according to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will protect them in every way, just as Allah protects His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even the Sahaba radiallahu and the other Anbiya alayhim salatu wa salam, Sayyidina Ibrahim, they flung him into the fire. Allah Azza wa Jal instructed the fire, قُلْنَا يَا نَارُ كُونِي بَرْدًا وَالسَّلَامًا عَلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمِ. We said to the fire, that, O fire, become cold, cool down, and become a haven of peace for Ibrahim. And that's exactly what happened. And not just the Anbiya, even the noble Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, there are countless stories of how they were physically and in every other way protected by Allah Azza wa Jal, because they followed in the footsteps of the noble Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, lived their lives according to the teachings of Islam. In a hadith narrated by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak, and also by other authors, also by Imam Tabarani, on the authority of Safina, the freed slave and the attendant of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ashabi radiallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had nicknamed him Safina, meaning ship, because whenever he would travel with the Prophet of Allah alayhi salatu wa sallam, sometimes they would pass by valleys and or ravines, and in these ravines the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would disperse. And they'd travel through the ravines and then come out on the other side and meet up again. And often the fastest amongst them was the same Safina radiallahu anhu. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, from this day onwards you shall be called Safina, meaning the ship. So this Safina radiallahu anhu, who was the freed slave and the attendant, personal attendant of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says that once I boarded a ship, I travelled on the ship, a storm struck and we were shipwrecked. I clung on to some of the wreckage and I floated up to an island, and there, when I set foot on the island, I was faced by a lion. This is no fable, it's a Sahih Hadith. I was faced by a lion. So I addressed the lion, and I said to the lion, I am the Mawla of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Meaning, I am the freed slave of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wa salam. He says the lion whipped its tail on the ground and sat down obediently. Then he actually stood up again, and because he had got lost, it guided him to the path that eventually led him back. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protects his chosen servants and from everything and everybody. In a hadith made by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayhi, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that Allah azza wa jal says, مَنْ عَادَى لِي وَلِيًّا فَقَدْ آذَنْتُهُ بِالْحَرْبِ. He who makes an enemy of my friend and of my wali, I declare war upon him. Whoever makes an enemy of my friend, of my wali, I shall declare war upon him. Allah is the protector of the believers. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, as Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu was told by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, احفظِ اللَّهَ يَحْفَظُكَ. Keep the law of Allah and Allah shall keep you. Preserve the law of Allah and Allah shall protect you. Our only protector is Allah. ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ says, ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَى الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَأَنَّ الْكَافِرِينَ لَا مَوْلَى لَهُمْ. This is because Allah is the protector of the believers and the kuffar have no protector. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, if they turn away, then know that Allah is your protector. فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ مَوْلَاكُمْ نِعْمَ الْمَوْلَى وَنِعْمَ النَّصِيرُ. If they turn away, know that Allah is your protector, and Allah is the best of all protectors and the best of all of those who can assist. Allah has promised to protect every individual of the ummah who preserves the law of Allah, as individuals and collectively. One may well ask, well, where do we see the protection today? Aren't the Muslims suffering? Aren't the Muslims subjugated by the kuffar? Aren't the Muslims oppressed? Isn't it true that politically and militarily we are at the bottom of the pile? And one doesn't have to repeat anything, we know our state of affairs. Well, first of all, the promise of Allah is true. If there is any flaw or shortcoming, it is in us. And the condition is, احفظ الله. Keep the law of Allah, يحفظك, Allah shall protect you. Preserve the law of Allah and Allah shall protect you. Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَأَوْفُوا بِأَهْدِي أُوفِ بِأَهْدِكُمْ. Fulfill my covenant and I shall fulfill my promise to you. إِن تَنْصُرُ اللَّهَ يَنْصُرْكُمْ وَيَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَكُمْ. In another verse, if you assist Allah, then Allah shall assist you and grant you steadfastness. Allah has made many promises to us. Allah has guaranteed us dominion and supremacy. Allah says, وَلَا تَهِنُوا وَلَا تَحْزَنُوا. Do not grieve and do not be sad. وَأَنْتُمُ الْأَعْلَوْنَ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. And you are the most supreme if you are mu'mineen, if you are believers. In another verse, وَلَنْ يَجْعَلَ اللَّهُ لِلْكَافِرِينَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ سَبِيلًا. Never will Allah allow the disbelievers to gain an upper hand over the believers. So why is it then that the kuffar have gained an upper hand? Why is it that we don't reign supreme? Why is it that we aren't dominant? The reason is Allah has abandoned us. Not in a bad way, but in the light of the following verse. إِن يَنْصُرْكُمُ اللَّهُ فَلَا غَالِبَ لَكُمْ وَإِن يَخْذُلْكُمْ فَمَنْ ذَا الَّذِي يَنْصُرُكُمْ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. If Allah assists you, then there is none to dominate you. And if Allah abandons you, then who is it besides Allah who can help you? Allah has made a promise, and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made a promise, and Allah's promise is true. In a verse of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jal says, أَلَا إِنَّ وَعْدَ اللَّهِ حَقٌّ وَلَكِنَّ أَكْثَرَهُمْ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ Know that the promise of Allah is true, but most of them do not know or understand. But the conditions are, احفظ الله يحفظك. Keep the law of Allah and Allah shall keep you. Preserve the law of Allah and Allah shall protect you. The ruling is, the law, the condition is, that if you assist Allah, Allah shall assist you. If you fulfill Allah's covenant, Allah shall fulfill His promise to you. And I think we should ask ourselves, and in all the other verses where Allah says the believers reign supreme, the believers will never be subjugated, the believers will never be dominated, the believers will reign supreme and be dominant themselves. The truth is Allah speaks about mu'mineen, those who are mu'mineen. We should ask ourselves, have we fulfilled even the apparent laws of Islam and thus be entitled to call ourselves Muslims before going further and claiming yaqeen and conviction of the heart and therefore labeling ourselves mu'mineen? We haven't even kept up the law, the apparent laws of Islam. احفظ الله يحفظ. Keep the law of Allah and Allah shall keep you, meaning keep the law of Allah in everything. Preserve the law, Allah, or the law of Allah in everything. Number one, salah. Allah Azza wa Jalla says in the Quran, حافظوا على الصلوات والصلاة الوسطى وقوموا لله قانتين. Look after, preserve, protect, and keep the salawat, the prayers, and especially the middle prayer, the Asr Salah, and stand before Allah devotedly and humbly. The believers, the mu'mineen, are those who look after their salah and protect it, who preserve their salah. And not just salah, but even their purity. In a hadith related by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullahi alayhi in his Musnad, on the authority of Sayyidina Thawban radiyallahu anhu, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wassalam says, لا يحافظ على الوضوء إلا مؤمن. Only a believer will preserve his purity. Only a believer will remain constant in his wudu. Now, alhamdulillah, most people when they perform salah, etc., they do perform their wudu. But there are many who remain in a state of janabah all the time. Muslims. The reason being, they don't pray salah. Maybe just Jumu'ah. So for them, remaining in a state of purity, tahara, or impurity, doesn't mean or janabah, it doesn't mean anything because they don't perform their salah. And then maybe when they come for Jumu'ah, they have their shower and then come. So it will only be a believer who truly preserves his tahara. We can't even preserve our tahara and we dream of glory. Salawat, look around. How many of us perform salah? Look at ourselves and ask ourselves, how punctual are we of our salawat? And if we as individuals are, then ask ourselves, is my wife performing salah? Sisters should ask, is my husband performing salah? Parents should ask, are my children performing salah? Children should ask, are my parents performing their salah and are they punctual? Forget the rest of the world, a person should only look at his own family and see how many people are punctual of their salah and how many are neglectful. And then, just take stock of one's affairs in one's own home and then think that this is the state of my home as regards just salah. And then we complain that we are being battered everywhere. We complain that as we are supposed to reign supreme and be dominant. We complain that Allah has abandoned us. We complain that Allah hasn't fulfilled His promise. The first thing is salah. When Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, احفظ الله يحفظك, keep the law of Allah and Allah shall keep you, preserve the law of Allah and Allah shall preserve you, he meant everything, purity, prayer. Our bodies, our minds, our hearts. Look after your bodies. But that doesn't mean physically training all the time and worshipping it, although that's important in itself. It means protect your bodies from sin. your heart and your mind, your loins and your tongue. In a hadith made by Imam Hakim in his Mustadrak, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, and also by Imam Tirmidhi in his Sunan, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, he who protects what is between his jaws and what is between his thighs, he shall enter Jannah. Protect both your loins and your tongue, and you shall enter Jannah. Have we protected ourselves? Protect your eyes and ensure, lower your gaze and do not look at anything which angers Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ يَغْضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِنَّ وَيَحْفَظْنَ فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say, O Prophet of Allah, to the believing men, that they lower their gaze and safeguard their private parts. They protect their loins. This is more purer for them. Allah is well aware of what they are doing. And say to the believing women that they should also lower their gaze and preserve their chastity. Some of us think that, oh, as long as we don't commit zina with our loins, we're okay. It doesn't matter. Allow the eyes to wander. No. Rasulullah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about lowering the gaze before he speaks about protecting the loins. Because this is the door to that sin. This is the introduction to that sin. And in the hadith made by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, and Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala an, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Allah azza wa jalla has written zina on every human being. And that man will most assuredly fulfill his quota and complete his share of zina. The zina of the eyes is to gaze. The zina of the hands, of the ears is to listen. The zina of the tongue is to talk. The zina of the hands is to touch. The zina of the feet is to walk towards that sin. And the zina of the heart is to lust and desire. And then it is the loins which either affirm and confirm all of this or reject it. So have we protected our bodies? Have we protected our minds of evil thoughts? In a hadith made by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, on the authority of Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiyallahu ta'ala an, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, true modesty and bashfulness in the presence of Allah, in respect of Allah, is that you protect the thoughts of your head and the contents of your stomach. Meaning, ensure that the thoughts of your head do not displease Allah, and what goes down into your stomach does not displease Allah. Have we protected ourselves in that regard? Have we protected our bodies, our bodily organs? Allah Azza wa Jalla also says in the Quran, وَحْفَظُوا أَيْمَانَكُمْ. Preserve your oaths, look after and keep your promises. Do we keep our promises? It is a sign of a munafiq that whenever he makes a promise, he breaks his promise. How often do we keep our promises? We can't keep our promises and we expect Allah to preserve us. We can't preserve our word and we expect Allah to keep His word for us and to fulfill His promise to us. Allah says it beautifully that believers are those who do all of these things as well as other things. In Surah Al-Mu'minun, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. That the true believers are those who are humble and devoted, and they concentrate in their salah. Then Allah goes on for a good few verses describing the other attributes. Amongst them, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنِ اللَّغْوِ مُعْرِضُونَ. Those who turn away from vanity. Allah also says those who preserve their, who protect themselves and preserve their chastity. In the same few verses, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ لِأَمَانَاتِهِمْ وَعَهْدِهِمْ رَاعُونَ. Those believers, those people who keep their promises and their oaths and are observant of them. And one other thing, وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَىٰ صَلَوَاتِهِمْ يُحَافِظُونَ. and those people who preserve and keep their salah. Allah says of such people, these are the ones who shall inherit the gardens of Firdaus. These are the ones who shall inherit the gardens of Jannah. In Surah Al-Ahzab, Allah Azza wa Jal speaks at length in that famous verse, in the Muslimin wal Muslimat wal Mu'mineen wal Mu'minat wal Qanitin wal Qanitat, till the end. And amongst the attributes that Allah mentions of those true believers, men and women for whom Allah has prepared an immense reward, one of the attributes mentioned is those people who preserve their chastity. This is the meaning of preserve the law of Allah, and Allah shall protect you. Fulfill Allah's promise. Sorry, fulfill your covenant with Allah, and Allah shall fulfill His promise to you. Assist Allah's deen, and Allah shall assist you. فَالْقُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, and I shall remember you. Allah reciprocates. But Allah doesn't reciprocate just in kind, but Allah gives so much more on the condition that we turn to Him first. So we expect glory, we expect supremacy, dominion, but we haven't done anything to deserve it. In the verse, Allah says, وَلَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلَ الْقُرَىٰ آمَنُوا وَاتَّقُوا لَفَتَحْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ بَرَكَاتٍ مِّنَ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبُوا فَأَخَذْنَاهُمْ بِمَا كَانُوا يَكْسِبُونَ. If only the people of the cities had believed and feared Allah, we would have opened up the doors of the heavens, and the blessings of the heavens would have descended on them. But rather than accept and believe, they rejected and denied. So we seized them as a result of the sins that they committed. And remember, we may look around us and we say, well, alhamdulillah, although we may not reign supreme economically and in material terms, we are living lives of luxury. So we have all the facilities here, we've got wealth, we've got properties, we've got everything. There's no hunger, there are no privations, there's no deprivation. Deprivation, yes, but no deprivation. So how come? Well, Allah Azza wa Jalla also gives us an answer for this. وَضَرَبَ اللَّهُ مَثَلًا قَرْيَةً كَانَتْ آمِنَةً مُطْمَئِنَّةً يَأْتِيهَا رِزْقُهَا رَغَدًا مِنْ كُلِّ مَكَانٍ فَكَفَرَتْ بِأَنْعُمِ اللَّهِ فَأَذَاقَهَا اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ بِمَا كَانُوا يَصْنَعُونَ. Allah says, Allah strikes the parable, Allah gives an example of a city which was content, secure and content in every way. It was prosperous and secure. Its risk, its sustenance would come to it from all sides and from all places. But the people of this city, the inhabitants, they proved to be ungrateful for the blessings of Allah. Ungrateful of the blessings of Allah. So Allah gave them just a taste of the garment of hunger and fear. Allah replaced their prosperity and their security with poverty and hunger and also fear. In any place, in any society, in any community, these two things are paramount, and they are two of Allah's greatest gifts to a people: security and prosperity. Allah Azza wa Jalla said exactly the same to the people of Quraysh in Surah Al-Ilaf, Quraysh and Ilafihim Rihmat al-Shita'i wal-Sayf. فَلْيَعْبُدُوا رَبَّ هَذَا الْبَيْتِ الَّذِي أَطْعَمَهُمْ مِنْ جُوعٍ وَآمَنَهُمْ مِنْ خَوْفٍ. Allah reminds the Quraysh that why Allah asked them, why do you reject the messenger, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? You should be the first to believe, isn't it true? Allah says they should, the Quraysh, the people of Makkah, should worship the Lord of this house that they know so well, who has delivered them, who has fed them and delivered them from hunger, and who has also secured them and protected them from fear. So peace and prosperity, security and prosperity are the two most important things. And wherever a people enjoy them, but they prove to be ungrateful of Allah's gifts and blessings, then there will come a time when Allah will snatch both of them or one of them. And as Allah says in this verse, Allah didn't inflict hunger upon them. Allah didn't inflict total or absolute fear upon them. Allah, فَأَذَاقَهَ اللَّهُ لِبَاسَ الْجُوعِ وَالْخَوْفِ. Allah only gave them a taste of the garment, the outer garment of hunger and of fear. And just that small taste, just that brief touch of fear and hunger rendered them senseless. And we should say the same about these countries here, where there is prosperity and apparently there's security. But if we prove to be ungrateful of Allah's blessings on us, then maybe the prosperity will continue, but Allah will remove that security, and that's what's happening. People will live in fear. People will be wealthy, and this can be seen and observed in South Africa, one of the world's most dangerous countries. It enjoyed great prosperity. Muslims there grew very rich through business and trade, and they've been there for a few generations. For a while, the Muslims enjoyed everything despite the apartheid regime. They enjoyed prosperity and security. Now, one, that prosperity is fast disappearing, but the security situation in South Africa is a nightmare. And only 2 years ago, and it's been increasing ever since, there were some figures, horrendous figures, unbelievable. Something like 800 murders per so often. It has probably the highest murder rate in the whole world. And when I visited South Africa, they informed me of the going contract rate. They said, do you want to know what the price is that you can pay for someone to be killed? What's the current contract rate? Because if you want to take out a contract on someone, it will cost you £10. Wallahi al-Azeem, £10 you can pay to someone and they will murder. And not only that, but in South Africa, and I don't mean to target the country, but it's an example. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says in a hadith that towards the day of judgment, a time will come when a man will not even know why he was killed. When a man will not realize why he was killed. وَلَا يَذْرِ الْمَقْتُولُ فِيمَ قُتِلِ. When the murdered person will not realize, or others will not realize, why he was murdered. Senseless, meaningless killing. And that's exactly what's happening. The prophecy of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is being fulfilled, where people will come, rob you, take away everything, strip the house, and then leave. Turn around, look at you, come back and shoot you dead. For no reason. Prophecy of Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam is being fulfilled, and let us not rest in complacency. Here we enjoy apparent prosperity and a superficial form of security. But only Allah knows if we are ungrateful of His blessings, if we do not preserve the law of Allah, if we do not abide by His religion, then Allah will give us a taste of the outer garment of fear and of hunger. May Allah protect us. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, احفظ الله يحفظك. Keep the law of Allah and Allah shall keep you. Preserve the law of Allah and Allah shall protect you. In the next sentence, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to him, احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Keep the law of Allah and you shall find Allah before you. Keep the law of Allah and you shall find Allah before you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is with those who are the believers, who are pious, who are fearing, who are patient and perseverant. Allah grants them His special company. And if a person keeps the law of Allah, Allah is able to protect him. Not only through the angels who are designated to protect us, as Allah says, وَإِنَّ عَلَيْكُمْ لَحَافِظِينَ كِرَامًا كَاتِبِينَ. That with you and over you are the guardian angels, The honored scribes. In another verse, لَهُ مُعَقِّبَاتٌ مِّن بَيْنِ يَدَيْهِ وَمِنْ خَلْفِهِ يَحْفَظُونَهُ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ. That with him are the angels. Before him, in front of him and behind him, they protect him by the decree of Allah. Apart from this general protection, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestows his own unique protection and company upon those who are patient, who are muttaqeen, who are persevering in his religion, and who fulfill the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who live by them. Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam, when he was in the cave of Hira, the cave of Thawr, and in the verse which I quoted earlier, إِلَّا تَنْصُرُوهُ فَقَدْ نَصَرَهُ اللَّهِ إِذَا خَرَجَهُ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا الثَّانِيَ اثْنَيْنِ إِذْ هُمَا فِي الْغَارِ إِذْ يَقُولُ لِصَاحِبِهِ لَا تَحْزَنْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا. That Allah Azza wa Jalla says, remember the time when he was the second of two people, he was saying to his companion, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, لَا تَحْزَنْ, don't grieve, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعْنَا, Allah is with us. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam and Sayyidina Harun alayhi salatu wasalam pray to Allah that we don't want to go to Fir'aun, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want to go, but we seek your protection. Allah Azza wa Jalla said, go, both of you, to Fir'aun, he cannot harm you. Why? إِنَّنِي مَعَكُمَا أَسْمَعُ وَأَرَىٰ. I am with both of you, I see and I hear. And this isn't just that general protection which everybody enjoys, or that company, or that knowledge of Allah Azza wa Jalla, which encompasses all of us. Rather, this is a special kind of company which Allah Azza wa Jalla bestows upon those who are his chosen servants. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, as he was leading his people away, Banu Israel being Banu Israel, they turned around and in front of them the sea was parting, and behind them at a distance they saw the chariots of Fir'aun and his army. And they said, إِنَّا نَمُدْرَكُونَ إِنَّا نَمُدْرَكُونَ. We are going to be captured, we are going to be captured. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam proclaimed, كَلَّا إِنَّ مَعِيَ رَبِّي سَيَهْدِينَ. Never, with me is my Lord, he shall guide me. And this isn't just for the Anbiya alayhim salatu wasalam, but as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, احفظ الله تجذب تجاهك. Preserve the law of Allah and you shall find Allah before you. Allah grants his special company and his protection. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah says in the Quran, Allah is with those who fear, who are muttaqeen, and Allah is with those who do good. Allah is with the believers. Allah is with those who are patient. Those who have been privileged by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with such company and protection can never go wrong. In a hadith related by Imam Bukhari rahmatullahi alayh, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Huraira radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, he says, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah azza wa jal says, it's a Qudsi hadith, that never does a servant, the beginning of the hadith is, man aada li waliyan faqad aadantuhu bil harb, he who makes an enemy of my friend, I shall declare war upon him. And never does any servant of mine, and never can any servant of mine come, sorry, never does any servant of mine come close to me with something that is so beloved to me as salah, as what I have made farad upon him. So the fastest way of becoming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the means with which are most beloved to Allah for a person to become close to him, are his laws, his obligations, his fara'id in deen, his farad ibadat. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, never does a person come as close to me with anything as beloved to me as he comes close to me through the farad ibadat that I have imposed upon him. And my servant continues to come close to me through the nafal ibadat until I become his ears with which he listens. I become his eyes with which he sees. I become his hands with which he touches. When he asks of me, I grant him his wish. When he seeks my protection, I grant him my protection. And this is only when a person reaches a higher stage of iman, ihsan and yaqeen that Allah Azza wa Jalla grants him such privilege and such a special protection and company. So احفظ الله تجده تجاهك. Keep the law of Allah and you shall find him before you. In the next sentence, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله. When you ask, ask only of Allah. When you seek assistance, seek only Allah's assistance. As believers, we should learn to cultivate and develop tawakkul, total reliance in Allah. We will not and should not look at anything or anybody else. And anyone who reaches that degree of yaqeen, Allahu Akbar. Allah will fulfill his promise to him. He will never suffer. And even if he undergoes the tribulations of this dunya, he will not grieve. Because he relies only in Allah, he depends only on Allah Azza wa Jal. And that's the spirit of Surah Al-Fatiha. Every day in Salah, we recite over and over again, إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. O Allah, it is only you that we worship, and it is only you that we seek help from. It is only you from whom we seek help and assistance. And this should be the foundation of a man's religion. Tawheed and tawakkul. As Allah says in another verse of the Quran, فَاعْبُدْهُ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَيْهِ. Worship him and rely only in him. Depend only on him. That tawheed is that we worship only Allah Azza wa Jal. And إِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينَ. We do not seek assistance from anybody else but only Allah. And the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum were instructed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to seek Allah's assistance in everything. Allah Azza wa Jal says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانَ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. When my servants ask of Allah Azza wa Jal says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when my servants ask you of me, then indeed I am close. I accept and I answer the prayer of one who prays to me. So let them respond to my call and let them believe in me in the hope that they may find guidance. Allah Azza wa Jal says in another verse, وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And your Lord has declared that, call out to me, pray to me, and I shall answer your prayers. In a hadith related by Imam Bukhari and Imam Muslim and also by Imam Malik in his Muwatta, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah Azza wa Jal declares each night, is there anyone who prays that I may answer his prayer? Is there anyone who seeks that I may grant him his wish? Is there anyone who seeks my forgiveness that I may forgive him? And in a hadith related by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi in his Musnad, also by Imam Tirmidhi and Imam Ibn Majah in their Sunan, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, مَنْ لَا يَسْأَلِ اللَّهِ يَغْضَبْ عَلَيْهِ. He who does not ask of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal becomes angry with him. And in a hadith made by Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Masood radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, ask Allah because Allah loves being asked. Ask Allah because Allah loves being asked. In fact, Allah is angered and enraged when a servant turns to anybody or anything else. Seek assistance only from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. About anything, Allahu Akbar, in a hadith related by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, Imam Tabarani in his Kitab al-Dua, and also by others, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says in a hadith, that ask Allah Azza wa Jal for, a man should ask Allah for all of his needs, even to the lace of his shoes. Meaning if the lace of his shoes snaps, then let him ask Allah Azza wa Jal for the laces of his shoes. Let him ask Allah for everything. And remember, whatever we ask of Allah, Allah's kingdom is so vast, Allah's treasures are such that it doesn't affect Allah Azza wa Jal in any way. In that famous and long beautiful hadith, Qudsi hadith, narrated on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Dharr al-Ghifari radiallahu anhu, recorded by Imam Muslim rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sahih, as well as others, Allah Azza wa Jal says, Ya ibadi, لو أن أولكم وآخركم وإنسكم وجنكم قاموا في سعيد واحد فسألوني فأعطيت كل إنسان مسألته ما نقص ذلك مما عندي إلا كما ينقص المخيط إذا أدخل البحر. Oh my servants, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, Oh my servants, if the first, the last, the men and the jinn amongst you were all to stand in one plane, and then everyone was to ask me for everything that he desired, and I was to grant every single person each of his wishes, this would not reduce collectively, all of this together would not reduce from my kingdom, but to the measure that a needle reduces from the ocean when it is dipped in and removed in sand. That's how vast Allah's kingdom is. So ask Allah for everything and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant. And when you ask, ask only Allah. إِذَا سَأَلْتَ فَاسْأَلِ اللَّهِ وَإِذَا اسْتَعَنْتَ فَاسْتَعِنْ بِاللَّهِ. When you seek assistance, seek only Allah's assistance, no one else's. In the final, I would like to elaborate more on each of these sentences, but we don't have much time. In the final part of the hadith, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas رضي الله عنهما وَاعْلَمْ أَنَّ الْأُمَّةَ لَوْ اجْتَمَعَتْ عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَنْفَعُوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَنْفَعُوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ لَكَ وَلَوْ اجْتَمَعُوا عَلَىٰ أَنْ يَضُرُّوكَ بِشَيْءٍ لَمْ يَضُرُّوكَ إِلَّا بِشَيْءٍ قَدْ كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكَ رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفُ. Rasulullah عليه الصلاة والسلام said, and know and be convinced that if the whole ummah, this could also mean creation, if the whole creation was to come together to benefit you with something they would never be able to benefit you except with something that Allah has already decreed in your favor. And if the whole creation was to come together to harm you with something, they would never be able to harm you with anything except something which Allah has already decreed against you. Why رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامِ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ. The pens have been lifted and the parchments have dried. In a hadith narrated by Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, recorded by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sunan, sorry, Imam Abu Dawud and Imam Nasa'i in their Sunan, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wa salam said, the first thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created was the pen. And then Allah instructed the pen write. And in that one instance, in that moment, the pen recorded everything that was to happen until the day of judgment. It's a sahih hadith. The pen recorded everything that was to happen until the day of judgment. And in a hadith narrated by Imam Muslim, rahmatullahi alayhi in sahih, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam says, Allah azza wa jal recorded and Allah decreed the destiny of the whole of creation 50,000 years before he created the heavens and the earth. So what is going to happen will happen. The pens have been lifted and the parchments have dried. The scrolls upon which Qadr has been written, the ink has dried. And nothing can change that. So no one can harm you and no one can benefit you unless Allah has already wished it. And that means that a person should feel content. قُلْ لَنْ يُصِيبَنَا إِلَّا مَا كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَنَا هُوَ مَوْلَانَا وَعَلَى اللَّهِ فَلْيَتَوَكَّلِ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, say, Allah says in the Quran, say, O Prophet of Allah, that never will we be afflicted by anything except what Allah has already written against us. Never will we be afflicted by anything except what Allah has already written for us. He is our master, and upon the And only in Allah should the believers trust. And only upon Allah should the believers depend. Allah is our Lord and Master. He can do with us what He wishes. Who are we? When a man reaches that stage, he is content. الرضا بالقضاء. Whatever Allah has decreed for him, he is content. As I quoted earlier, on the authority of Sayyidina Abu Darda radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, إِنَّ لِكُلِّ شَيْءٍ حَقِيقَةٍ وَمَا بَلَغَ عَبْدٌ حَقِيقَةَ الْإِيمَانِ حَتَّى يَعْلَمْ أَنَّ مَا أَصَابَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَهُ وَأَنَّ مَا أَخْطَأَهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَهُ. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, everything has a reality, a حقيقة. And a servant will never attain the reality of Iman until he becomes convinced that that which afflicted him was never going to miss him, and that which escaped him was never going to reach him. Allah decides, and Allah knows what's best for us. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالُ وَهُوَ كُرْهٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّوا شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Fighting has been ordained for you. Fighting has been prescribed for you. And this seems undesirable to you. But it is quite possible that you dislike something, but it is far better for you. And it is also highly possible that you love something, but it is harmful for you. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah knows and you do not know. Allah knows what's best for us. So when a man reaches that stage where he attains the haqiqah, the reality of Iman, he does not feel grieved or hurt or saddened. As Allah Azza wa Jalla says, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَلَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ إِلَّا فِي كِتَابٍ مِّن قَبْلِ أَن نَبْرَأَهَا إِنَّ ذَلِكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ يَسِيرٌ لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ وَاللَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, never does any misfortune befall you, neither in the earth, on the earth, neither in yourselves, except that it is already decreed in the book before we allow it to come to pass. You are being told this, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَى مَا فَاتَكُمْ, so that you do not regret that which has missed you. وَلَا تَفْرَحُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ, nor do you feel proud and arrogant over that which Allah has bestowed on you. Allah does not like every swaggering, arrogant, proud person. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided. Our qadr, we can't understand, nor should we try to. Why? It's beyond the comprehension of our feeble and weak minds. Our minds are, if you close your eyes and someone puts a clip on your nose or just holds your nose and closes it, and then they put a big, thick, rough potato smack in your mouth and say, eat, this is a Granny Smith apple, you will not be able to tell the difference. Our minds are so weak that they can't do without the sense of the nose, without the sense of sight, without the sense of smell. This mind is so weak that it cannot grasp anything all by itself. It needs so many crutches. How can such a mind comprehend the secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Or the qadr of Allah azza wa jalla? Allah shall ask you on the day of judgment, why you were discussing qadr. To even discuss it is to be answerable for it on Yawm al-Qiyamah before Allah, because it's beyond our understanding. And it behoves a Muslim, it befits a Muslim, that he only concerns himself with things that matter, with things that are relevant and that are meaningful. So qadr is qadr, we do not understand it, but we believe it. We have complete faith in it, and a man will not be a true believer. A man will not attain the reality, the haqiqah of Iman, until he is content with the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in another verse of the Quran, مَا أَصَابَ مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهِ. No misfortune befalls anyone except with the permission of Allah, with His will and power. And whoever believes this, Allah will guide his heart. Meaning, convince yourself that whatever Allah has decreed is good for us. Whatever misfortune befalls me, it's Allah's choice. Once a man convinces himself of that, he believes in that, Allah will guide his heart even further. Allah will guide his heart. And that means, you are being told this, لِكَيْ لَا تَأْسَوْا عَلَىٰ مَا فَاتَكُمْ وَلَا تَفْعُوا بِمَا آتَاكُمْ, so that you do not regret what has missed you. That job, that career, that wealth. And for the pining youth amongst us, that wife. Remember this much, if it wasn't decreed for you, it was never going to happen, regardless of how close you came, a miss is as good as a mile. Remember this much, what escaped you was never going to reach you. And what you've got is never going to escape you. That's Allah's decree. When a man is content with Allah's decree, Alhamdulillah, the poet says, لَلْ أَمْرَ أَمْرِي وَلَا التَّقْدِيرُ تَقْدِيرِي وَلَا الشُّؤُونُ الَّتِي تَجْرِي بِتَدْبِيرِي لِي خَالِقٌ رَازِقٌ مَا شَاءَ يَفْعَلُ بِي أَحَاطَ بِي عِلْمُهُ قَبْلَ تَصْوِيرِي. Neither is the matter mine, nor the affair, nor is destiny and fate in my control, nor do things happen through my planning. No, I have a creator, a sustainer. He can do what he wishes with me because his knowledge encompassed me even before he gave me form. His knowledge encompassed me even before he made me a human being. We belong to Allah. Allah can do with us what he wishes. And he who is content with Allah's decree, Allah is happy with him. And he who is displeased with Allah's decree, Allah is displeased with him. So once a man believes in this, Allah Azza wa Jal grants him happiness even in sorrow. Allah grants him strength even in apparent weakness. As a poet says in Urdu, خدا نے اپنے دشمنوں کو عیش و آب و گل دیا اپنے دوستوں کو اطمینان دل دیا ان کو ساحل پر بھی طغیانی ملی مجھے طوفان میں بھی ساحل دیا. The poet says, Allah gave his enemies the luxuries of the life of the dunya, and Allah granted his friends the peace and contentment of the heart. They, even on their shores, they found a storm raging around them, and me, Allah Azza wa Jal, in the middle of a storm gave me a shore. He who is content with Allah's decree, he will attain the reality and the haqiqah of iman. And as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma, the pens have been lifted and the parchments have dried. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, everything we have created is qadr. We cannot change it. We should be happy and content with whatever Allah Azza wa Jalla has given us, because what has afflicted us was never going to miss us. What escaped us was never going to reach us. I end with the translation and the recital of the hadith again. This hadith has been narrated by Imam Tirmidhi rahmatullahi alayhi in his Sunan, and also by Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal in his Musnad, also by Imam Tabarani in his books. Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abbas radiyallahu anhuma says, I was seated behind the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he called out to me and said, Ya ghulam, inni u'allimuka kalimat, ihfadillaha yahfadhuk, ihfadillaha tajidhu tujahak. إذا سألت فاسأل الله وإذا استعنت فاستعن بالله واعلم أن الأمة لو اجتمعت على أن ينفعوك بشيء لم ينفعوك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله لك ولو اجتمعوا على أن يضروك بشيء لم يضروك إلا بشيء قد كتبه الله عليك وفعت الأقلام وجفت الصحف. أو ابن عباس, I'm going to teach you a few things. I'm going to say a few words to you. Keep the law of Allah and Allah shall protect you. Preserve the law of Allah and you shall find Allah before you. When you ask, ask only of Allah. When you seek assistance, seek only Allah's assistance. And know that if the whole ummah, the whole creation was to come together to harm you with something, to benefit you with something, they would never be able to benefit you except with something which Allah has already decreed in your favor. And if the whole ummah, the whole creation was to come together to harm you in something, they would never be able to harm you in anything except something which Allah has already decreed against you. The pens have been lifted and the parchments have dried. And Allah Azza wa Jal says about this in the Quran, وَإِن يَمْسَسْكَ اللَّهُ بِذُرٍ فَلَا كَاشِفَ لَهُ إِلَّا هُ وَإِن يُرِدْكَ بِخَيْرٍ فَلَا رَادَّ لِفَضْلِهِ يُصِيبُ بِهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ وَهُوَ الْغَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. Allah says, if Allah inflicts a suffering on you, then there is none to remove that suffering or to relieve you of it. And if Allah Azza wa Jal wishes good for you, then there is none to dispel or to remove or prevent Allah's good reaching you. Allah bestows His grace upon whomever He wills from amongst His creation, and Allah is most forgiving and most merciful. In another verse, Allah Azza wa Jal says, مَا يَفْتَحِ اللَّهُ مِنْ رَحْمَةٍ فَلَا مُمْسِكَ لَهَا وَمَا يُمْسِكْ فَلَا مُرْسِلَ لَهُ مِنْ بَعْدِهِ. Whatever mercy Allah Azza wa Jal wishes to release, I'm open. There is none to stop it. And whatever Allah withholds, there is none to release it other than Allah. Even about the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah Azza wa Jal tells him, قُلْ لَا أَمْلِكْ لِنَفْسِي نَفْعًا وَلَا ضَرًّا. Say, O Prophet of Allah, I do not possess any power over good or harm about myself. Only Allah Azza wa Jal has that power. No one has any choice in any matter. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam narrates in a sahih hadith recorded by most authors of hadith that Sayyidina Musa and Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam both had a debate before Allah. Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wa salam, being Sahibul Jalal, he said to Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wa salam, O Adam, are you the same person who drove us from Jannah and brought us onto this dunya through your mistake? Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Musa, how many years before have you read in the Torah that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala banished me from Jannah and I made this mistake? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, yes, I have read in the Torah. Meaning what I say is on the basis of what I've read in the Torah. Are you that same Adam who took us out of Jannah and brought us onto this dunya? Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, O Musa, do you find this in the Torah? He said, yes. So he said, tell me, O Musa, how many years before the creation of the heavens and the earth did Allah write the Torah or produce it? Sayyidina Musa alayhi salatu wasalam said, 40 years before the creation of the heavens and the earth. Sayyidina Musa Adam alayhi salatu wasalam said, أَتَلُومُنِي عَلَىٰ أَمْنٍ قَدْ قَدَرَهُ اللَّهُ مِنْ قَبْلِي بِأَرْبَعِينَ سَنَةٍ. That, O Musa, do you rebuke me over something which Allah had already decreed before 40 years before my creation? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, فَحَجَّ آدَمُ مُوسَى. Sayyidina Adam alayhi salatu wasalam defeated Sayyidina Musa in that debate. Do you blame me for something which Allah had already decreed against me 40 years before my creation? This, someone who ponders over this, he will learn to be patient. So whatever happens to him, although there are people who are responsible, there are things that are responsible, there are apparent means and asbab, ultimately he will realize and know that all comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah says in the Quran, أَيْنَمَا تَقُونُ يُدْرِكُمُ الْمَوْتِ وَلَوْ كُنْتُمْ فِي بُرُوجٍ مُشَيَّدَةٍ وَإِنْ تُصِبْهُمْ حَسَنَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ وَإِنْ تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ يَقُولُوا هَذِهِ مِنْ عِنْدِكَ قُلْ كُلٌّ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ فَمَا لِهَؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَهُونَ حَدِيثًا. Allah Azza wa Jalla says, wherever you may be, death shall reach you and shall catch you, even though you may be in fortified towers. And then Allah speaks about the munafiqeen, that what the munafiqeen used to do, in whenever some good fortune would meet the believers, they would say, oh, this has come from Allah. And whenever the believers would suffer a setback, secretly the munafiqeen would say, this is because of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, if a good fortune meets the believers, these munafiqeen say, this is from Allah. And if a misfortune befalls the believers, these hypocrites say that this is from Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this is from you. Say to them, kullum min indillah, everything, misfortunes and good fortunes, sufferings, calamities, and favors and blessings, everything comes from Allah. فَمَا لِهَاؤُلَاءِ الْقَوْمِ لَا يَكَادُونَ يَفْقَحُونَ حَدِيثًا. What's wrong with these people that they don't seem to understand anything? May Allah Azza wa Jalla give us the tawfiq to understand. وصلى الله وسلم على عبده ورسول نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك.
This lecture was given by Sheikh Abu Yusuf Riyad al-Haq and has been presented to you by the Islamic Sharia Institute. For further information, additional lectures and books, contact us on 0121 773-5191, or alternatively by post at the Islamic Sharia Institute, P.O. Box 6008, Birmingham, B10-0UW, United Kingdom, or visit our website www.sharia-institute.org. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.